Okay, let's dive in. You need to test someone's hearing accurately, maybe, for work in a noisy place.
Right.
The catch. The very environment you're in is probably, well, trying to mess up your results. How do you possibly get valid data when there's noise everywhere?
That's the fundamental challenge, isn't it? Ambient noise just interfering with the delicate sounds of a hearing test.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the obvious loud stuff. Lower frequency noise, you know, the kind of low rumble you get from HVAC systems, maybe distant traffic, machinery that can be particularly insidious.
Absolutely.
It can actually mask or hide your ability to hear higher frequencies, too.
That effect is known as upward spread of masking.
Upward spread of masking. Okay, that makes sense. So we've got a stack of source material here looking at how different solutions tackle this problem.
Yeah, different approaches.
Our mission for this deep dive is to figure out what these sources really tell us about how effectively, well, traditional sound attenuating booths and some of these newer boothless systems actually block noise across the whole critical hearing test range, right? Typically 125 hertz up to 8,000 hertz.
Exactly. And why those low frequencies, like 125 and 250 hertz, are often the hardest to deal with?
Precisely. And, you know, the very existence of standards like ANSI S3.1, it kind of confirms how noisy typical environments are compared to what's needed for a valid test.
So there are actual standards for the quietness inside?
Yes, exactly. These standards set maximum permissible ambient noise levels, MPNLs, inside the test space. And you might be surprised how quiet that needs to be, especially down low.
Like how quiet?
Well, for instance, when testing starts at 500 hertz using standard superaural headphones, the noise inside your test space shouldn't exceed 49 dB SPL at 125 hertz.
Okay.
And get this, only 35 dB SPL at 250 hertz. And dB SPL, that's sound pressure level, a measure of sound intensity, those are seriously low target.
Wow, hitting 35 dB at 250 hertz. That sounds incredibly challenging in just a typical building. So how do the traditional tool stack, let's look at single-walled booths, the common enclosure you see.
Right. So our sources compile attenuation data that's, you know, how much sound they block for various single-walled booth models.
Mm.
What's truly striking, and frankly a little concerning, is the massive variability in performance. Especially those low frequencies we just talked about.
Wait, you mean not all single walled booths are created equal? Like, not even close?
Absolutely not. Just calling something a single walled booth tells you almost nothing useful about its low frequency performance relative to those strict standards.
Okay, give me some numbers.
At 125 hertz, our sources show attenuation figures ranging wildly from a, well, dismal 18 dB on the low end.
18. That's not much.
No, up to maybe 31 dB on the high end, averaging around 23.7 dB.
Hmm. At 250 hertz.
At 250 hertz, it's even wider. From 22 dB minimum up to 44 dB, averaging about 30.7 dB.
Okay, so the average single-walled booth, based on these numbers, might really, really struggle to get you down to that 35 dB SPL limit at 250 hertz.
If your starting ambient noise is anything like a typical office or, you know, light industrial setting, yeah, it could be tough.
So you really need to know the specific model's performance data.
Exactly. Performance generally gets better at higher frequencies, but that variability issue, it persists.
Which raises an important question. Is there another way? That's where these boothless audiometry systems come in, right?
That's the idea.
How do they aim to solve this without building a whole room?
They typically use special headsets, often combining passive isolation, like large circumoral cups that go around the ear, with insert earphones that go in the ear canal.
Okay, so Fizzell blocking still.
Yes, passive attenuation is part of it. But a key difference highlighted in the sources is the integration of active ambient noise monitoring.
Active monitoring, what does that mean?
It means systems like the CoudWave mentioned in the source, they don't just rely on the headset blocking sound passively, they actually measure the noise levels while the test is happening.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. If the noise gets too loud relative to the standard needed for that specific test frequency and level, the system can actually pause the test or mark that specific data point as potentially invalid.
Okay, so it tells you if the environment is too noisy during the test, which is, well, pretty different from just hoping your booth is doing its job.
Exactly. It adds a layer of validation.
How does their passive blocking compare, though? Just the headset itself.
Looking at the CoudWave's passive numbers mentioned, they report around 31 dB at 125 hertz and 37.7 dB at 250 hertz.
Okay, let's connect that back. So their passive low-frequency performance is actually better than the average single-walled booth we talked about.
It is, based on those numbers, though it's worth noting, on average, the single-walled booths tend to perform better at the higher frequencies, say above 1,000 hertz or so.
Right, so it's a different kind of trade-off then. Maybe better passive low-frequency blocking plus that active monitoring safety net.
Exactly. It's sort of passive isolation versus a combination of passive attenuation and active validation of the test environment in real time.
Okay, that's the lab data, the specs. But what about the real world? You often hear that the numbers on paper aren't always what you actually get, right?
This is absolutely crucial. Lab performance is measured under ideal conditions. In the real world, things like leaky door seals, imperfect window seals, maybe inadequately silenced ventilation
All
systems,
the little details.
yeah, they can significantly degrade a booth's performance, and it particularly impacts the low-frequency attenuation. Those long sound waves find leaks easily.
So even if the spec sheet looks good, how it's installed and maintained really matters.
It matters enormously, which is why, site-specific ambient noise surveys are vital before you even choose a system.
Makes sense.
And critically, the sources strongly recommend annual acoustic verification or certification of booths after they're installed.
Every year.
Every year. You need to measure the actual noise levels inside the booth in your specific location to make sure it's still meeting those strict MPNLs. Lab numbers are just a starting point. Verified installed performance is what actually counts for valid testing.
Okay, so wrapping us up, what does this all mean for you, the listener, if you need to do accurate hearing tests? It really seems like you need to look past generic descriptions like single-walled booth.
Definitely.
You need specific, model-by-model, noise reduction data across the entire frequency range, really understand the challenge those low frequencies pose, and then absolutely positively verify that whatever system you choose actually performs as needed in your specific testing environment regularly.
Couldn't have said it better. And perhaps here's where it gets really interesting. A final thought for you to chew on.
Okay.
Traditional passive booths, they rely on simply blocking noise and, well, hoping it's enough. They don't typically tell you in real time if a sudden noise outside a truck rumbling by maybe has pushed the noise level inside above the acceptable limit during a specific test tone.
Right. You'd never know unless you were measuring constantly.
Yeah, exactly. So could the biggest functional advantage of a system with active monitoring be that real-time assurance? Knowing definitively in that moment whether that specific data point was compromised by noise, that might be worth considering.